for what he's doing. Can we give God one more shout of praise? His goodness, his grace, his mercy. We thank God for the ultimate, awesome, awesome praise and worship. We thank God for just being God all by himself. Amen. Lady Thomas, thank you for those prayers, and so much of what you said is so true. We need God more than ever before. When you was over there praying, it just hit me real quick that just grace is a word that sometimes we take for granted, and we don't realize it. If you're in 2020, if you made it thus far to the 10th month, we've experienced grace. Every day is a new day with new mercies. Every day we wake up is grace. But if we've seen this year has been so much, with so many people are dying, so much going on. If you're still here, still standing, got your right mind, your health, God has extended you some extra grace. You should give God praise for that. So we are grateful for God's grace. It's sufficient, what the Bible tells us. But today we're going to jump into a price tag. If you have your Bibles, your tablets, or phones, we're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. This is the New King James Version, and it reads as follows. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures. The thief does not come except to kill, steal, to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Today we're going to talk about the price tag of distractions. My God, my God. The price tag of distractions. Distractions come in all types and shapes and sizes, and they have all kind of consequences as well. It is imperative for us that if we're going to reach heaven, walk in our destiny as God had planned us to do, we must do what? Eliminate and eradicate, for goodness sake, any distraction that is in our life. In the Gospel of John in chapter 10, we find Jesus solidifying his spot on earth. He said, "Look here, I'm depicting myself as the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd." Jesus is the good shepherd. We as pastors, it's funny, I already had this made, but this is Pastor Appreciation Month or Day. And we as pastors are his under shepherds, which means our job is what? To make sure the sheep are protected from the thief, because the thief coming. Our job is to make sure the sheep are ready for his return. And we do this by what? Following the same example the good shepherd Jesus put before us in his word, his character, and by following his father. But today I want to focus on verse 10, because I believe, watch this, the best offense is a great defense. The best offense is a great defense. Come on, people that follow sports. Jesus gives us some insight about the character of our enemy, calling him a thief. So Jesus wants us to know who he is and his character and how he works. And if you watch sports, if you play basketball, you know that you got to watch film. When you get serious with it, you got to watch film of your opponent. You got to watch what kind of plays they run and what kind of offensive and what's their tendencies. Do they go to their right? Can they not go to their left? So you're preparing for battle. And we know they're boxing. If you watch boxing, what do? They have sparring partners, and they pay people to come and spar with them. But these people are not just average people. They're there to emulate the person they're going to fight. They learn their moves and how they work and all these things. Why? Because they want to know their enemy. Because if I know my enemy, I can beat you. The best offense is a great defense. That's why Floyd 50-0. Amen. Side note. But John chapter 10:10 says this: "The thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." The first thing is, the thief's job is to distract. Yeah, that's the thief's job. His job is to distract. So let's get a working definition of distract before we go further. Distract means this: to draw away or divert as the mind or attention, to separate or divide by dissension or strife. So the enemy's job is to distract, to get our mind and our attention on things that don't matter, things that seem important to us right now. So it means the enemy has an agenda against us, y'all. He has an agenda. The enemy is no joke. Matter of fact, in John 8:44, Jesus called him a murderer since the beginning. He said he's been a murderer since the beginning. He's been a thief since the beginning. He's the father of lies. Hey, man, if you see me swing, I might have to lay hands on the beat. Praise God. But he says, look here, he's the father of lies. Satan inspired an angelic rebellion in heaven. He called all the angels, third of the angels, to come down from heaven because they didn't want to follow and obey God, to worship him. The thief does not come except but to steal, kill, and destroy. Let's look at the book of Genesis. When he came to Adam and Eve, the thief came to the woman and questioned God. He came to her and says, God said you should not eat from the tree. As God said this, don't you know God is lying? You won't die when you eat this. The moment you eat this, what's going to happen? You're going to be like God. He came and made her disrespect what her husband already told her. The thief does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy. The thief said, look here, focus on this one tree that God said you couldn't have, instead of focusing on all the trees God said you could have. Ain't that a trip? He had her focusing on one thing God said they couldn't, instead of all the goodness God gave them. The thief does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy. All throughout scripture, we find Samson and Delilah, David and Bathsheba, Judas and the money. All thieves have come to steal, kill, and destroy, even in our own time, from presidents to athletes to politicians, men getting caught up in all kind of issues. The thief does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy, and distract us from our destiny. Preach, PG. I'm doing the best I can. I'm going to give you a few ways the enemy distracts us, and I'm going to get out of your way. The first thing he does, the enemy is stealing our time. Yeah, stealing our time. What does the Bible say? Ephesians 5:15-16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wow, why does the Bible tell us to redeem our time? Redeem, to buy back our time, because the days are evil. And we must know that the days been evil way before this presidential election. I know we got a big decision, we got to vote, but the days been evil way before this pandemic. The days been evil way before this wave of police brutality and systematic racism, addressing all that. We've been had drug problems, it's been a money gap, it's been a sex trafficking problem, it's been murders. The days are evil, so it's important for us to understand we live in an evil time, and we spend so much time in our life sinning before we come to God. So we got to redeem the time we lost by following the thief. What do you mean? How much time and money have I lost by being distracted? I just wish I could get back my dumb money. That's all the money I spent dumb and doing whatever I wanted. If I could get that back, where would I be now? We got to be careful. How much time did I spend in dead-end jobs that wasn't where my mind is at, wasn't where my heart was at? How much time did I lose in relationships that wasn't no good, wasn't never meant to be together? How much time have I lost in friendships that wasn't no good, and the only thing we had in common was sin? How much time have I lost in drugs and alcohol abuse? How much time, when the Bible says, look here, you got to get your time back. Walk upright, not as fools, but walk as wise people. Because walking like fools will have us doing whatever we want to do. We're doing the fool out here. We're just doing whatever we want to do. And the enemy begs and loves that, because we're losing time. Because time is not promised to any of us, y'all. The next thing he does, watch this, is distract you from your identity. Woo! Distract you from your identity. He came to Adam and Eve and said, look here, if you eat this tree, you will be like God. It was a trip, because they were already like God. They wouldn't get no closer to God than they already was. They were already like God, but the enemy had them confused on their identity. And it trips me out, because I know this. If I know who I am, I'm not worried about who I'm not. That's deep right there. If I know who I am, if I know I'm made in God's image, if I know God is my source, if I know God is my provider, God is everything to me, I don't have to worry about things they're trying to tell me I need outside of God. Because I come to find out, even as Christians, watch this, our identity can be found in what? In the car we drive, in the clothes we wear, in our social media status, in the jobs we work. Our identity can be found in so many things. And God is saying, no, your identity needs to be found in me. Because if it's in me, then the thief can't come. He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief knows this, that if he convince you of something other than your identity in Christ, he can get you off course. How, Pastor? He can get you off course by this. He can get you off course because what? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. So if you are taking another way instead of the way, ain't no telling which way you're going to end up. Praise God. Amen. If you're taking another way instead of the way, there's no telling which way you're going to end up. The enemy doesn't care as long as you're not following Jesus, because that's the only thing that can defeat me. He doesn't care whatever else you're doing as long as you're not loyal to Christ, because it doesn't matter. Nothing else has the power to break my strength. Nothing else has the power to break my bond. You will find your identity in other things. We don't find our identity in Christ. The next thing he does, he comes to kill your dreams. My God, my God. The thief come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I want to encourage you, watch this, never to stop dreaming. I love that song we just sang, He's Able, because that lets me know there's no limit to God. If I'm thinking about God, he's able. It doesn't matter what I'm going through, where I'm at right now, what my goals, my vision is. There's no limit to God. I keep the mindset he's able. But once my time gets stolen, once my identity doesn't, I don't know who I am, it becomes easier to kill my dreams. You don't think you have enough time to accomplish no more because you got too old. You don't think you got what it takes no more because you don't feel you're smart enough. I've killed your identity. The distraction comes, watch this, sometimes from moving too fast or moving too slow. See, the enemy tries to speed us up or slow us down sometimes. Why? Because timing is everything. Somebody say timing. Timing is a key in the kingdom. If you read the Gospels, Jesus several times healed people and sent people on their way. But then he said, don't tell nobody because my time has not come yet. Don't tell nobody. He was waiting on God. But at the same time, when God said move, he knew he had to go. What do you mean? Can you imagine that him telling people, I just healed you. Don't tell nobody. I rose your loved one from the dead. Don't tell nobody. My time has not come yet. But now it's time for the Garden of Gethsemane. And now his time has came. Now Jesus has to walk into the garden and pray because the enemy, he knows he's about to die. He's carrying the sins of the world. Now his timing is coming. He knows people about to arrest him. He knows people are about to spit on him and beat him and accuse him of things. Ultimately kill him for nothing. He knows all this is going to happen. Yet he still follows God. Why? Because that was part of his destiny. See, the enemy wants us to rush because if we move ahead of time and we're not ready yet, it will be easy to distract us because we lack discipline. Woo. If we move ahead of time, before it's time to get there, and we're not ready yet to handle whatever God's trying to give to us, he knows I can come and distract them. Why? Because they're not disciplined. But on the other end of the spectrum, if we wait too long, opportunity will pass us up because we've been paralyzed by fear and insecurity. We've been paralyzed. God is saying move, and we're scared to move. God is saying make this faith jump, and we're scared to move. And now God can't take us to where we need to be because we let the enemy kill our dreams. As long as you're alive, please never stop dreaming. Never stop believing you can be more than you are. Never stop believing God can take you to another level. Never stop believing God can do the impossible in your life. God is here to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can think or ask or imagine according to the power that works within us. But if you stop dreaming, God can't work. If you stop believing, God can't move. So it is imperative for us to keep pushing and believing. Amen. The next thing the enemy does, he wants to ultimately destroy your destiny. My God, the thief come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Praise God. That's why I love God. No matter what the thief said, no matter what the thief's plan is, doesn't matter what it is, Jesus got another plan. Jesus got an exit route for us. I love him for that. But the thief comes. Watch this. If I play a play on words, the thief comes that we might have death and have it more abundantly. That's what Jesus is saying. He come to steal, kill, and destroy. He's coming that we may have death and have it more abundantly. Or if I keep life in it, you may have life, but it might be inadequate. You might have life, but it'll be below average. You might have life, but it won't be worth living. The enemy is coming to destroy, and it messes us up because I think sometimes we think the enemy is our friend because we have fun with sin. We think the enemy is our friend because we have fun with sin, and we got to be careful. He's not our friend. He's not your boo. He's not your homie. He's none of that. He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. What might seem fun for a moment is planned is for you to have a funeral. What might seem exciting for a minute is made to eliminate you. We got to be careful because the enemy is not coming to help. He's coming to hurt. And sometimes the enemy comes in a way that looks like a friend. That's why we say, what? Wolves in sheep's clothing. He comes looking like a friend. He comes looking like a homie. He comes looking like a partner. But at the end, is someone there to hurt you. His job is to destroy our destiny. To not only get us to choose hell as our final destination, no, but he wants us to experience a type of hell on earth. My God. He wants your experience on earth to be so bad that you don't think hell is real. He wants your experience on earth to be so bad that you say, well, I've already experienced hell on earth, so it don't matter where I end up. I've experienced so much hurt. I experienced hurt from my mama. I experienced hurt from my daddy. I experienced hurt from supposed to be my friends, my sisters, my brothers. All these people have hurt me. All the situations have come against me. So who cares if I don't end up in heaven? I've already experienced hell on earth. The enemy is a trick, y'all. because he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He has a plan. When I start stealing your time, I start messing you up. When I steal your identity, I start messing you up. Then I start killing your dreams. I start killing your hopes. You don't have anything to live for. Then ultimately, I know once you don't have faith, I'm able to destroy you. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So his job is really to attack our faith, to beat us up until we can't believe no more. The enemy wants to destroy us, watch this, and our destiny, he wants to present us with a counterfeit. Yeah, yes, that's how he destroys us. He presents us with a counterfeit destiny. What do you mean? What do you mean? Oftentimes, right at the point of breakthrough, the enemy will come to distract you with a counterfeit. My God, I need some people to testify with me with that. That sometimes, before the breakthrough comes, before the blessing, well, you got to be praying, you got to be watchful, you got to have some discernment, you got to have some people around you that are on the same page. Why? Because what might look like a breakthrough is really something that's counterfeit. What do you mean? It looks like the perfect job, but it keeps you away from God. It looks like the right relationship, but you ain't got no time for God. It looks like the right answer, but now it's a trip. So I don't know. I can't do it. But anything that causes you to compromise your relationship in Christ is a distraction. And we got to be careful. We don't fall for the enemy distractions. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, we begin to date someone that isn't a Christian, and now we have different belief systems and values. Now we're at two different ends of the spectrum. Where God is important to me, but God is not important to you. So at some point, it's going to come up. If I take the job that moves me too far away from God, then not only am I not, I can't even make it to worship. Watch this. I ain't got no time for God. I ain't got no time for nothing else in my life. What are we doing? We got to be careful. How many brothers, watch this, are in the pen right now or in the grave because they were distracted by money, distracted by cars and clothes instead of raising their family and raising their children and loving on their women and being good husbands? How many brothers have we lost to this system because they were distracted by money? How many sisters have done things they wish they never had? How many sisters have been in some bad situations, maybe giving up their body early, chasing the wrong man, doing things they knew they shouldn't do behind relationships because they were distracted by their own hurt and pain from their parents or from daddy issues or whatever the case may be? We got to be careful not to get distracted. See, distraction is a trip. If we just be for real in the natural, texting while driving is one of the most dangerous things we ever seen today. How many people have lost their lives behind the wheels of a car in the natural life because they put their head down for 2 seconds, because they responded to a text and they didn't wait? And if we can get caught up like that real quick, don't you think the enemy, the devil, the thief got some distractions playing for us? Got some things he wants us to lose our life to, that he got some plans that want us to kill. But the thing is, to keep the only way I can not be distracted is to be the opposite, and that's focused. Only way to beat distraction is to be focused. I got to be focused on this thing. What do you mean, Pastor? I love this. My mind got to be made up. Hebrews 12:2 says this: looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Woo! Yeah, yeah. So what the writer of Hebrews is saying real quick, and I'm almost done, we got to look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, which means he's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's writing the story on my faith. So I'm looking unto the one who can write my story on my faith, but then I got to watch what he did, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross. What do you mean? How is the cross joy? Because if I read my Bible, it says that he was hung on a cross. He was pierced with nails in his hands. They stuck him with a sword on his side. He was already beaten bloody when they put him on the cross. Why is that joy on the cross? It's because it was joy. Watch this. Because he saw our redemption. It was joy because he seen us and said, I gotta make it for them. I'm focused on my destiny. I can't let this thief steal, kill, and destroy. I can't let the thief wipe me out, because I gotta do what I gotta do so they can get what they need to get. And Jesus, for the joy and the shame, hung on that cross. But watch this. He was focused on this end job because he knew his destiny was to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he sat down at the throne of God. He had his destiny in his mind. And the only thing that's going to help keeping us focused, watch this, if we have the end in mind. See, too many of us are living for the now. We're looking for the how this feels right now, how this looks right now, how this move gonna make me look right now, what it's gonna do. But Jesus had the end in mind. See, when I have the end in mind, me making a couple quick thousand and ending up in jail for some years ain't worth it, because I got the end in mind of raising my babies. I gotta have the end in mind. And Jesus showed us the real way to be successful and keep the enemy off your trail is to think ahead and have the end in mind. So I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired of being distracted. I have a destiny and a purpose to fulfill. So in that mindset, I got to walk how God told me to walk. Yes. He said this in Proverbs, and I promise I'm done. Look your eyes straight ahead, Proverbs 4, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Yes. Do not turn to the right or to the left, or remove your feet from evil. And that's it. That's all I got, y'all, right there. Let your eyes look straight ahead, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of my faith. Let your eyes look straight to the head. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. I ain't got time. You might be moving too fast for me, and you might be moving too slow for me. So I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm going to do what God called me to do and look right. I'm going to ponder the path of my feet. I got to look down and say, feet, is this place I'm going to right now going to bless me or going to hurt me? Feet, this place I'm going to right now, is it going to help me or despise me? What am I going to do? You got to look down at the path of your feet and let your ways be established according to his word. Don't turn to the right or to the left, but remove your feet from evil. If you remove your feet from evil, then the enemy can't come in and distract you. If you remove your feet from evil, he ain't got no time for to steal your time. You remove your feet from evil, your identity is solidified in Christ. If you remove your feet from evil, he don't got time to destroy your destiny.
Jesus, help us, Lord.
So it is in that we say, God, today we reconnect with you, God. That I'm so grateful, God, you let the world slow down. Because why he let it slow down, I think, because we were distracted too much. God, my pastor's preaching a series called Reset, that God is allowing us to reset. Man, can you imagine that? Think about that. God is allowing us to reset.
Thank you, Lord.
And say, you know what? Is my marriage good? If it ain't, I need to fix it.
Come on.
How's my relationship with my kids? If it's not good, I need to fix it.
Come on.
Is this really the career I want to do? Oh, God, if you got some more in me, something else I can do. And if it is, let me start applying myself so I can get to where I need to be. Let me fix it. You put a dream in me, God, and I've been procrastinating for so long, and everything's been so busy, and everything has slowed down for a reason. Am I going to step out on faith and do what God has called me to do, or am I going to revert back to my old ways?
Jesus.
And let the enemy continue to steal my time. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of the enemy. I'm sick of the thief. He done stole enough from me. He done stole enough time. He done stole enough money. He done stole enough love. He done stole enough from me.
Yeah.
And now the Bible says time to redeem my time. So if you feel it's time to redeem your time, let the redeemer of the Lord say something. If you know it's time for you to say, Lord, it's time for me to get back right with you. It's time for me, oh God, to get this thing together, because I'm sick of being distracted. It is these distractions that have cost me so much time that I don't got. And if we're honest, we got more time behind us than we got ahead of us. Lord willing, everybody wants to live a long life. But the thing about life is we don't know how much time we got. I don't know how many people I've seen die this weekend. Lord have mercy. How many people I've seen die this weekend? Nobody was over 40 that I seen. And that's the enemy's thing. He plays with us on time. He always wants us to think you got more time. Now you can get saved, just wait till the next time. You can give your life to Christ, just wait till the next time. You can give your heart to Christ, just wait till the next time. And truth be told, who told us we got more time? Who told us we don't see tomorrow, let alone the rest of the day? Who told us that? It's not a scary employee. It's not nothing to scare you. It's to be thoughtful and to be thinking, because like I said, Jesus said he had the end in mind. And while we do got to live in the present, we also got to have something for the future. Why do you think they let us buy life insurance? Why do you think they let you buy a policy? Watch this. That if you pass away, that can help your children and your future generations in the future. Why do you think they let us do that in the earthly realm, to get a policy,
Jesus,
to help them in the future? My God,
Jesus.
I want a life insurance policy for earth, but I want a soul insurance policy for heaven. Praise God.
Yes.
I need something set up so when I leave this earth, I know I got a spot. Jesus said, I got mansions. I'm making mansions with many rooms in it. I need my mansion secure. I need my children to know. I not only want to leave them a policy in the natural, I want to leave them a policy in the spiritual. and say, Mom, Dad, whatever, left a legacy for me. A legacy of God, a legacy of faithfulness to Him, a legacy of love, a legacy of prayer, a legacy of loving His Word. Because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that's going to keep us, y'all. That's the only thing that's going to keep us. Thank you, Lord. So I'm going to pray. Dear Lord, dear Lord. We thank you, oh God, for today. I thank you, oh God, for all those that are here in the parking lot, those that may tune online or may watch later. I pray, Father God, right now, oh God, that you have your way in our lives. It is in you that we live, move, and have our being. It is in you, oh God, that we find our strength. It is in you, oh God, that we need thee, oh God, as they sing behind me, that we need thee. I need thee every day and every hour. I need thee, oh God, to help me redeem my time. I need thee, oh God, to not allow me to walk foolish no more. I need you, oh God, to help me ponder the path of my feet. I need you, oh God, to help me make the crooked way straight. I need you, oh God, to help me live this life according to your will, your way, and your word. I need you, oh God, to help me love my enemies. I need you, oh God, to help me love my neighbor as myself. I need you, oh God, to help me raise my family. I need you, oh God, to help me continue to provide for my family. I need you, God. I need you in every area of my life, oh God, because if it's not for you, oh God, there go I. If it's not for the grace of God, there go I. So, God, I come to submit, oh, God. We submit to you our hearts, our minds, our hands, our feet, our eyes. We submit our body as a whole to you, oh, God. And ask, oh, God, that you be with us and lead us into what you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, oh, God, for blessing us. We thank you. Thank you for tuning in. And we thank God for being God our Bible himself. We'll see you next week. God bless you. May God keep your smile upon you.
Amen.